Thanks so much for joining us today. We'd love to know how much this ministry is touching your life. Please take a moment and email us your story at stories@transformationchurch.net. Also, if you would like to help support this ministry financially, you can do so by visiting us at transformationchurch.net, clicking on the Giving tab, and choosing the giving option that best works for you. Thanks again for joining us. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Isn't this the most wonderful time of the year in which we get to celebrate the birth and Savior of Jesus Christ, the hope of the world? His name is Emmanuel, God with us. I'm so excited to start and kick off this Christmas season, and I pray that you are just as excited as I am. And we're excited here at TC to celebrate Christmas, the highlight of our year. And I know what some of you are thinking as we begin this Christmas season. I know what you're thinking. How can we be so joyful when things are just awful? Anybody feeling that today? How can we be joyful? All right, let me say it to you this way. How can we be joyful when we're so full of worry, anxiety, fear, and uncertainty? How can we be full of joy when things around us aren't going the way we want them to go? That's what I want to tackle in this series that I've entitled Joy to Your World, because God doesn't just want to bring joy to this world. God wants to bring joy into your world. And I really believe that this season that we find ourselves in is a great opportunity to be joyful. Let me say that again. Because y'all ain't going to believe me. I think the season that we find ourselves in, with the difficulties that we find ourselves in, are an opportunity to be joyful. Scriptures tell us in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16, always be joyful. When? Does that mean 2020? Does that mean yesterday? Does that mean last week? Does it mean today? Does it mean tomorrow? When are we supposed to be joyful? How could this be true? How can we be joyful when we're going through some pain? How can we be joyful when things are uncertain? How can we be joyful when things are so awful? You know, for me, it's hard to be joyful when things are going great. I don't know about you. It's not in my genes or DNA to walk around happy. Anybody like that? You just kind of, how many think I'm a serious type of a guy? When you see me walking around the church, I'm serious. Pastor Joe's got a serious face on. This man of God, he's not very funny. He's a man of God, he's not very funny. How can he be so joyful when he looks so serious? How many ever thought of that? I know a lot of people have told me that. But it's not in my DNA. I'm a serious guy. It takes a lot of effort to smile. Do you know I have to practice smiling? Do you know that? I don't know if you guys know this about me. I'm going to let you into the backstage of my life. Sometimes, because I don't naturally smile, I have to put a pen in my mouth. Do you have a pen? I won't put it in my mouth anyway. I have to put a pen in my mouth to help me learn to smile because these muscles weren't fully developed on my cheek. And you know what? I work on it. I try to smile, right? And by looking around, many of you have the same problem I do. As a matter of fact, every store I go to, everybody has the same problem I do because ain't nobody smiling. And you ever get caught off guard when somebody's happy? Like, go to the store and they smile, they have nice to you. Like, what's wrong with them? Why are they so happy? It's like when I come into work on Monday morning, I'm so grumpy. My wife says, you're grumpy all the time, I'm irritable. I'm not a bad guy, I'm just, I come in and there's Pastorati. Good morning! I don't know if you know Pastorati, but she's always smiling. She's always happy. She's always happy in the morning, happy in the afternoon, happy at night. Drives me crazy. I hate it. Why is she so happy? Why do we have to be happy? It's tough being happy when things are going great. But it's really hard to be happy and joyful when things aren't. It takes a lot of effort, extra effort. Especially when things are awful. But this is what I believe in this series God wants to do. I have entitled the series Joy to Your World because I believe God wants to bring joy into your world. And I believe he wants to transform your awful and make you into something joyful. I believe God wants to take our awful and transform it into joyful. I really do. If we can journey with me over the next 3 weeks, all I ask you is journey with me through Christmas. Be a part of the messages. I believe each and every week will build upon that week, and God is going to bring the transforming process. And instead of ending the year full of unhappiness and pain and difficulty, I believe that we can finish 2020 strong. I really do. And I believe God wants us to finish 2020 joyful. I really do. So we're going to be looking at, this week, we're going to be looking at the book of James, chapter 1, verse 2. Follow along with me. It says, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind," you're in some trouble? You're facing some trouble? We're all in some trouble right now. We're all facing the same trouble, but we're also facing some trouble individually that are different than others. And if you're here today and you have no trouble, take notes because you will find trouble or trouble will find you. So James writes, "Brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way," how many know they're coming? He doesn't say if troubles come. He says when troubles come because they're coming. Troubles will come. Troubles are here. Troubles won't disappear. He says, "But when they come, consider it an opportunity to curse." Because I know that's what you want to do. When you find trouble or trouble finds you, don't be acting all self-righteous and religious on me just because it's Sunday morning and you're sitting in church. I know you want to swear when trouble comes your way. Come on, somebody. Don't swear now, though. That's all I ask you. But he says, when trouble comes your way, when your tire goes flat, when you have to quarantine because you were, you know, with somebody. When you're sick, when you're down and out, when you're struggling, he says, when considered an opportunity for what? Great joy. Are you kidding me? Who wrote this? Now, what James is telling you, he's saying to you that when troubles come, there's not to be great joy that you're experiencing trouble or trouble found you. He says, consider it pure joy when troubles come because of what troubles is producing in you. Now, we will have trials. Trials will come from three different places. First, trials will come from the evil in this fallen world, sickness, disease, crime, tragedy, pain, murder, lying, stealing, racism. All kinds of troubles. Troubles will come in this world because we live in a fallen world. Troubles will also come because of the poor decisions we make. Not all the trouble comes from the world. Not all the trouble comes from the devil. But trouble sometimes comes just because you're making poor decisions without God. Right? Without God. Right? Doing things without God. Making decisions on your own. And sometimes God will let you. If you're going to make decisions without God, sometimes God will let you make those decisions. Okay, you want to do your thing? Go ahead, do your thing. But I'm sure you'll be coming back to me pretty soon. Because our ways are not his ways. Our thoughts are not his thoughts. God's ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. We will experience trouble because of poor decisions. We'll also experience trouble because of the temptations and attacks we face from the enemy. Number three. We will face attack from the enemy. We will experience temptation. This is what God wants. You know, when it comes to temptation, and this last point, sometimes, you know, resistance is our number one weapon against temptation. The Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee. I love it. Just system. Right? I don't know where that came from, but it just felt like that. Devil, get out of here. I resist you in Jesus' name, right? Come on, some of y'all need to do a little resisting. In Jesus' name, I resist you, devil. Right? That's what he says. He doesn't even say fight. I love it. Scripture says resist. Don't even fight. Just, It's like, resist. You come my way, resist the devil, and he will flee. But this is what a lot of us do. Instead of resisting the devil, we resist trials, right? And we engage in temptation. Think about that. And what God wants from us is not to resist the trial. He wants us to resist the temptation and engage in the trial because he's doing something through the trial that we may not understand. So we need wisdom. We need wisdom to understand what trials we're facing. That's why in verse 5, he says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God. First of all, this could change a lot of your guy's life. If you just want to have a good 2021, just simply ask God about the future. I know it sounds like it's elementary, but how about we just ask God first? That's wisdom. If any of you lacks wisdom, ask God who gives generously to all without finding, and it will be given to you. Ask God, Lord, give me wisdom to understand and discern the fight that I'm in, the struggle that I'm in, the trial that I'm in. And help me to discern your purpose. Give me wisdom to understand. Give me clarity to understand that there's a purpose behind this problem. You see, joy is not a feeling, and this is where many people get caught up in. We're a culture that's addicted to pleasure and comfort. And any feelings that are not connected to pleasure and comfort, we despise. And if this season, why, you know, Time Magazine said that 2020 is the worst year ever. On the front cover, it says 2020 with an X. It says worst year ever. The reason why it's the worst year ever, I understand it's people who passed away, people who've gotten sick. I know it's been a tough year, but I don't know if it's the worst year ever. I don't know. Because if we flip our focus, we might just discover that 2020 was not the worst year ever. It was the best year ever. You see, joy is not a feeling that is connected to our circumstances. And just because we were inconvenienced or lost comfort or went through a trial does not mean that the year was bad. On the contrary, James says that we need to count it all joy because you fall into trials of many kinds. The reason why you consider it joy is because there is a purpose behind the trial. So if we're going to experience joy, we need to flip our focus from the trial to what God is doing and is going to do in and through the trial. Joy is a focus before it's a feeling. Woo! And if we flip our focus from the problem and focus on the outcome, we will recognize that once 2020 has gone and has taken its course, we're going to recognize that we are stronger, that we are more mature, that we have greater faith, that there are things that have been stripped from our lives, that we have a greater dependency upon God, that we've enthroned God on the throne of our hearts. This is what he says. He continues in verse 3, James, in verse 1, chapter 1, verse 3. He says, for you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. 2020 is a year of growth. 2020 is a year of maturity. He says, so let it grow from when your endurance is fully developed. You will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. You see, farmers understand this principle. Farmers understand that when they plant a crop, they understand the importance of manure. And the more manure, the healthier the crop is. And God understands that principle too. That's why he allows sometimes manure to come into our lives. And I know manure stinks. And it's bad. And it's tough. But if I were to summarize this verse and this passage in light of manure, basically what God is saying is that when life gets crappy, find an opportunity to be happy, because more crappy, more happy. Count it all joy. The crappier life is, the happier God wants you to be. Because he's recognizing that this manure is accomplishing something in your life. You may not see it, you feel it, you may not see it. It may not feel good, it may not sense good. No one likes that feeling, but once the spring comes and things start growing and the harvest comes, you're going to recognize how important the trials and the troubles were. You see, 2020 may actually be the best year of your life because of what God did in me. Count it all joy when you fall into trials of many kinds. One of the great oxymorons of Scripture. How do we discover joy in the trial? We've got to flip our focus from the trial and the comfort and the pleasure and the good feelings of life and recognize that when I'm in a hardship, when I'm in a trial, when I'm in a difficulty, my focus affects my direction. And when my focus, when my joy is rooted in my focus, it changes the direction of my life. And when I realize that my joy is connected on the outcome, to the outcome, I look at my trials and I don't deny the feelings of the pain of the moment. Because actually, in order to feel joy, you have to first feel sadness. In order to feel joy, you first must experience the pain. And this is the thing about joy. People, you can't just choose joy. Let me say that again. You can't choose joy. You can choose your focus, but you can't choose joy. You can't say, I'm just going to choose to be joyful in this moment when you've gotten laid off from work or when things have changed or when your husband or wife walks out on you or cheats on you, whatever it might be. You can't just choose joy at that moment. And so many of us, we pretend, especially some of us are hyper-spiritual, we kind of want to pretend that we have joy because in our culture, in our world, the joy of the Lord is your strength, brother. Why are you so sad? Be glad. Well, I'm sad because I lost a loved one. I'm sad because I'm sick. I'm sad because I lost my job. I'm sad because the finances have run out. I'm sad because there's problems in my marriage. And that's okay to be sad. God wants you to embrace the moment of sadness. But he also tells us in Scripture that weeping endures for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And my friends, there's been a lot of weeping in 2020. There's been a lot of tears in 2020, and all I got to tell you is that weeping comes into a night, but allow it to take its course because it will produce joy. That's why James says, consider it pure joy when you fall into trials of many kinds. We're all going through something. We're all going through the same thing. We're all going through something. We're all going through a different thing, but we're all going through something. James says, consider it pure joy. This next verse, I really want you to grab a hold of it because it's kind of like the, just kind of wraps this whole message up. Hebrews 12, 2. The writer of Hebrews says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of the faith, of our faith. You guys still with me? For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorned its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus did not find joy on the cross, but he found joy in the outcome of the cross, that he would soon sit down at the right hand of the Father on the throne of God, and his cross
would lead to our salvation. So what did Jesus do? He set joy before him. Whatever you set before you is the direction your life is going to take. And for some of you, you've allowed the media and the culture and the craziness of this world to set the direction of your life, and you've allowed it to rob the joy that God wants to give you in the trial and in the trouble. In our pockets, there's an unending stream of evil, of unhealthiness, of bad news. How many know that? And if we're not careful, we're setting before ourselves the bad news. And the more bad news we read, the more bad news we believe, the direction of our life will go into a negative place, and we think it's the end of the world. You know, we think that, you know, it's the end of the world, that all hope is lost, and I'm just going to buy some food and hide underneath the bed, and this virus has canceled God's purpose for my life. This virus has canceled God's plan and purpose and destiny. And I would just say that first of all, Christmas is not canceled. You can't cancel what's already been done. God's purpose and plan and destiny for your life have not been canceled. God's plan has not been canceled. God's purpose for this church has not been canceled. It actually has been accelerated because of the manure that we've all been going through. That's why the scriptures in James tells us to consider it pure joy when you walk through the manure of life, because you know that when it's more crappy, more happy, and God is going to produce a great harvest in and through you. That's what he believes. So joy is not rooted in a feeling. It's not rooted in your circumstances. Anything that's attached to circumstances will lead you into despair. And that's why so many people are so unhappy. And they say it all the time. I'm just not happy anymore. I'm just not happy in my marriage. I'm just happy in my job. I'm not happy here. I'm not happy there. I'm just not happy. And what they're really saying is, I don't have the feelings of happiness because of the trial I'm in. But James says, that's okay. But don't give up. Persevere. Because if you set joy before you, you're going to endure the cross that is before you. Because we all have a cross to carry. We all do. We all have a cross. So he says, set joy before you. How are we going to get through the rest of this year? We're going to set joy before us. I don't know about you. I'm setting joy before me. I'm flipping my focus. And I'm focused on the outcome. I'm flipping my focus, and I'm focused on the sadness of the moment. So I recognize that these are some things I've been through in my life, but that sadness will lead to joy. I'm also flipping my focus from the problem to the problem solver, and that's Jesus, because joy is not a feeling. It's rooted in a person. That person's name is Jesus. He is joy. He is peace. He is our strength. You say, well, Pastor, where do I find this joy? You find it in Jesus. You find it in him. You find it in Christ. He is our joy. He's not just a feeling. He's a person. John 15, I love John 15 because it's Jesus talking about abiding in him and him in us. And in John 15, he talks about the importance of connection with Christ. He says, abide in me and I in you, because without me you can do nothing. And then in verse 11, he says, I have told you this so that what? My joy may be, it's not circumstantial, it's not external, it's internal. It's within you, that your joy may be complete. Some of you have incomplete joy because you have partial joy because you have a partial relationship with God. That's why your joy is partial, because it's not complete. But God is saying, no, I want you to focus on your relationship with me, because when you discover that relationship with me, you will discover the source of joy. When your joy is connected to anything else in this world, it will run out. But when your joy is connected to Christ, there is an unending supply of joy. That's why the scriptures tell us the joy of the Lord is our strength. How are we going to finish strong in 2020? Joy. Joy is our strength. Joy is what's going to sustain us. Joy is what's going to uphold us. It's not going to deny reality. We're going to recognize the struggle, but we're going to understand that there's a purpose behind the struggle. There's a purpose behind the trial. God is producing in us character. He's growing our faith. We are becoming fully transformed followers of Jesus. We don't grow in the good times. We grow in the bad. 2020 is not your worst year. 2020 just might be your best year. Come on, somebody. It's time to flip the script. We're going to end strong. We're going to finish strong. I'm doing everything in my power to keep this building open. But if, God forbid, we have to close again, and I'm going to fight to close this building. I'm going to do everything I can to not close this building. But if we have to do, that's okay. Count it all joy. Because I know God is giving us deeper roots. God is working in our homes. God is working in our families. God is working His purpose. God's purpose is not dependent upon whether the building's closed or open, or comes in church or not. God wants to release joy into our lives because His joy is our strength. I'll leave you with this last point. Guys, if you can flip back, go back to that one point. You cannot choose joy, but you can choose your focus. And your focus will control your joy. Isn't that good? You can't just say, oh, I choose joy. No, I'm in this pain, I'm in this difficulty, and I feel the sadness. But this I know, God works all things together for my good. I know He's working His purposes in my life. I don't like what I've had to go through. I don't like what I've been through. But this I know, if God allowed it, then it was necessary. Because the steps of a righteous man are ordered by God. And God will not allow anything into my life that He didn't think was good for me. And that He wouldn't allow anything in my life that He wouldn't work for the good of, for our good. You guys got that, right? And I know He's working in me. And I know 2020 was crappy. I know that. But perhaps 2020 was a year in which God did His deepest work in me. He stripped me. He grew me. He brought some things to the surface, maybe in my family, my marriage, my own life. He drew closer to me. And when I felt lonely, He was there for me. When I felt distant from Him, He drew close to me. See, you don't know Jesus as healer until you need healing. You don't know Jesus as provider until you need provision. You don't know Jesus as comforter until you need comfort. You don't know Jesus as strength until you need strength. I don't know what you're walking through today. I know what we're all walking through, but I don't know what you're walking through. But whatever you're walking through, consider it an opportunity for great joy. Joy is a focus before it's a feeling. And when you focus on Jesus, He'll give you the feeling. He'll give you the joy. He'll give you the peace. He'll give you the strength. Sometimes He'll walk next to you through the struggle, and other times He'll carry you through the pain. I have joy because I know God is for me. God is with me. He's fighting my battles. He's there ahead of me. He's taking me through. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen next week, but this I know. I'm going to come out better. I'm going to come out stronger. That's why Job was able to say, I leave you with this. Job said, when I get through this poop, Job, I don't know if you know him in the Bible, he lost everything in one day. His health, his wealth, his family, his home, his everything, his cattle, his livestock. But somewhere, later on, he wrote these words. When I come forth from this, I'm going to come forth as gold. Gold, in order for gold to be produced, it must be refined in the fire so that impurities are burned away. And we're right now in the furnace of refinement. And once we get out of this furnace, how many know? We're going to be like gold. We're going to come forth stronger, wiser, full of faith. And when things start happening in your life, that's a year from now, your car break down, that's okay. I got through COVID. If I didn't get through COVID, what? I got a head cold. Ain't nothing. What? God brought me through. Right? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, thank you because you are with us. You love us.